And welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about music that changed their lives because, you know, the right song at the right time can open you up to worlds you never knew existed, and those are the songs we want to hear about. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week we have stories of transformational songs from artists who actually have been and are touring together. First, we'll talk to Jonathan Myberg, who fronts the band Shearwater, and then we'll hear from Emily Cross and Dan Duzinski, who together make up the band Cross Record. Cross Record is the KUTX Artist of the Month for February, but I'll tell you more about that later. First off, Jonathan Myberg. Like I said, he leads the band Shearwater, and they just released the excellent Jet Plane and Oxbow, which Myberg has described as a protest record, though this is no folky protest record. There's rock and a little dance in there, and throughout, just good songs. He came into Studio NA to play some of those songs right before the band took off for a European tour, and afterwards he sat down with Jackie Fuller to talk about songs and artists that expanded his ideas of what music could be.
When you asked me about this, the first song that just popped in my mind was a Vic Chestnut song called Big Huge Valley, mm-hmm. off his second record, West of Rome.
Well, the big huge valley is a ribbon of line. The aqueducts are snakes tonight. The stars are homesteaders, a sticking claim. My head is hopping with historical names.
It's actually a song about, I heard it before I'd ever been on tour, but it's a song about being on tour and particularly about driving through the San Joaquin Valley in California up I-5 between LA and San Francisco, which is an eerie place. It's all agriculture, but it's all irrigated agriculture, so everything is extremely sort of geometric looking. There are huge feedlots and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of acres of citrus trees and almonds, and Vic describes it beautifully in the song. The song's recorded in a really interesting way. You just hear this big booming floor tom and a melodica and Vic's nylon string guitar. So the sound of it's really evocative too. And it was one of the first. I grew up loving like classic rock and Simon and Garfunkel and mm-hmm. Just very sort of normal white bread kind of music.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Vic was one of the first singers I heard who sort of was like a gateway for me into an entire world of other music that people were making that was under the mainstream radar.
And the oil is pumping up out of the dirt. Yeah, the virile dinosaurs continue to squirt. And the mountains lay like rucksack. Yeah, the global forces sculpt.
That was a really sort of transformative thing listening to Vic, and especially to that record, which I just got obsessed with. The title song is one of the most depressing songs I can possibly imagine, but there's also a song in it called Florida, which every time we're in an election cycle like we're in now, I often get that song out and listen to it again.
What did you listen to when you were a kid, growing up? You said you listened to kind of Simon and Garfunkel, White Bread stuff.
Yeah, well, and it's funny. I mean, like, even extending to the band Bread, which my, like, my parents didn't listen to the Beatles. They didn't listen to the Rolling Stones.
I want to make it with you. I really think that we could make it.
Listened to a lot of classical music. I was in church choirs growing up. I remember I had a record of Appalachian Spring that I would play over and over. Huh. So I kind of came late to rock and to all kinds of things, but there's some value in coming to things late too, because you appreciate things in them that you,
sure,
you might not have if you'd first digested it earlier. But I remember, like, when I was a little kid, there was a record album that I liked that was, it turns out it was E. Powers Biggs Plays Bach on the organ, but I just liked the cover of it. this sort of stained glass image of J.S. Bach's head, and I'd put it on the record player, and that all these pots and pans and things and some wooden spoons, and I would bang along to this Bach recording in time, my mom says, on the pots and pans. And I wish I had a recording of that. I'd love to hear what that sounded like.
And you were a big fan of Nina Simone as well.
Yeah, I think she was the greatest, popular musician of the 20th century, and maybe the 21st century too. The jury's still out. It's been great to see her getting more attention recently with the documentary. And all. If you've ever seen, like, her version of, they use it in that new documentary. It's sort of the start of it. That performance from Montreux in 1976, I think, where she plays the song "Feelings," and makes it into a 12-minute opus. It's just unlike any other performance. You owe it to yourself to see Nina Simone performing "Feelings." But if you had to pick one song out of her entire, all of her work that is maybe the best, it's probably "Sinner Man," which I remember listening to with my friend Will from Ockerville back when we were making the second record. We were out in Joshua Tree. We were camping there on the way up to San Francisco to make our record.
Oh, I ran to the river. It was boiling around to the sea. It was boiling around to the sea. It was boiling all on the bay. So I ran to the Lord. I said, Lord, hide me.
What is it about that song specifically?
It's the band performance as much as anything in some ways. She's got such command of her band, and it just pulses and ebbs and flows. It goes all the way down to just like the barest, you just sound of these hands clapping like this, just a few little hand claps. And then the band just roars with this huge energy it's like rock and roll energy, even though it was sort of before that. I often wonder where that piano is. It's got to be in New York somewhere. Like, it's... it must still exist.
You need to find it.
I'd love to find the Sinner Man piano.
And write a book about it.
Yeah, oh God, no.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of Will Sheff, did he introduce you to Nina Simone, or had you heard her music before?
No, I'd heard her before, but Will had a better appreciation of her than I did. I'd thought that she was sort of just a jazz singer. I hadn't realized that she was, you know, the part, and this was a problem for her, really, and you can see it in how confused her discography is now. Nobody knew how to classify her. Was she jazz? Was she classical? Was she pop? What was she? And she was kind of everything. I mean, she could have never sung a note and she'd still been one of my favorite musicians. She was an incredible piano player. And she played pretty much every time when you hear her singing, she was playing piano at the same time, brilliantly. When she's not making you want to give up, she makes you want to go on.
Lonely. Lonely tin can at my feet, I think I'll kick it down the street. Tin can at my feet, I think I'll kick it down the street. Why not? That's the way to treat a friend.
Have you ever tried covering any of these tracks, Nina Simone or Vic Chestnut?
Not in a Shearwater show. Well, no, that's not true. I think we did Playing Gold Ring a couple of times long ago. But Vic, you know, Vic was such a distinctive voice. We were talking about distinctive voices earlier, like with Bowie, that it's hard to sing his songs without adopting some of his crazy diction, which, you know, it was like this. He had a real, like, pronounced Georgia accent. I used to see him at the Cactus here, and I think he kind of played it up some, too, but he worked it into his songs in such a way that, like, nobody sounded like him.
Yeah.
Nobody sang like him. It's that great book that just came out that Kristen Hirsch wrote about him called Don't Suck, Don't Die. Which UT Press published, actually, and it really gives a great picture of him, what he was like.
So in order to cover it, you almost have to make it your own.
Yeah, and so for some people, that's easier than others. Like, some songs are more portable between people, and some songs you almost have to be the person to do them.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do karaoke?
No.
You kill it at karaoke.
No, I know, but I get too self-conscious.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
I can't help it if all the world is ending, all the life is gone. Why are you calling out this name?
Quiet Americans from Jet Plane and Oxbow, which is really my kind of protest song. And in addition to playing this song and others from the new record on the tour that they're on now, Shearwater will also be playing songs from David Bowie's Lodger. And, you know, I can't really talk about Jonathan Myberg without talking about the breadth of what he does, because he doesn't just write and record and perform with Shearwater, like, as if that's just a just, that would be enough. But he's also a writer and a cultural critic and a birder. And he has this book coming out about these South American birds called caracaras. And I know all of this because he and Jackie talked about all of it before they did the interview that you just heard. And we couldn't figure out a way to fit that conversation into the podcast. So for the first time ever, this Thursday, we'll be offering a This Song Extra. You can hear the part of the interview that didn't make it into this episode, but which is way too interesting for you not to hear. If you want to get this extra delivered right to you, please pop on over to iTunes and subscribe to This Song. Once you do, you'll get all the new episodes and extras delivered right to you. And while you're there, please go ahead and leave us a rating or a review. Input from listeners helps us with iTunes ratings, and it makes everyone here on the This Song team feel all warm and fuzzy. We like to know you're listening. The link to the iTunes is in the This Song page for this episode. Next up, Cross Record. They're a band that originated in Chicago, but now they call the Austin area home. Yay! They just released a cool record called Wabi Sabi, and they are also the KUTX Artists of the Month for February, which means they did a Studio 1A performance and had a Song of the Day, and were featured on our guest DJ series, My KUTX. They sat down with Art Levy to talk about the songs that opened their eyes to what music could do.
This song is Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap.
Spin me round again and rub my eyes. This can't be happening when busy streets amiss with people would stop to hold their heads heavy.
It's a entirely vocoder, I believe.
It's her vocal blended with just vocoder keys or sounds in it.
It's electro a cappella song, and it's very unusual sounding song, but really comforting at the same time.
Hide and seek. Trains and soaring machines. You won't catch me around here. Blood and
soul. It's really good song. It's one of those songs that you might not like if you hear it the first time, but I think that you would like it.
Did you like it like immediately?
Yeah, I did. But it was before it ever, I think it was maybe the first time I'd ever heard vocoder.
And did you know like what that was?
No.
Or it just sounded like a robot, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't into music necessarily then. Like I just listened to music like any normal person listens to it then. So I wasn't like critically thinking about music, and I would have no idea what a vocoder was. Maybe I'd heard it in like a Daft Punk song or something. And I first heard it when, I think I was like 16 or something, and we were on a family trip over to England to visit my family over there. And we were in Amsterdam and London and all these places and driving. And I just had that song on repeat on my little iPod when we were in the car on the trains and buses. So it colored my experience of that trip.
So you'd already had that song kind of previously? Was it?
Well, I loaded it onto my iPod because someone recommended that album to me, but I hadn't heard it before I was there. So I had put it on my iPod, and then I figured I would listen to it first when I was there. So I was arrested by it, I guess. I couldn't stop listening to it. It was very, like I said, comforting, but also kind of strange. And it went really well with the landscape I was seeing, like kind of dark and rainy and foggy and cold and contemplative.
The dust has only just begun to fall. Crop circles in the carpet, sinking feeling.
Is it, do you still listen to that song?
I haven't listened to it for a long time, but it's in some rap song now.
Like sampled?
Yeah, because there's this line, what you say, that she only went well, cause you did, what you say.
Jason Derulo.
That it's all for the best, cause it is.
I was so wrong for so long, only trying to please myself. Girl, I was caught up in her lust, when I don't really want no one else, so.
Do you know that line? It's like in a rap song that they sampled it. So I actually did hear that rap song on the radio the other day. So I heard part of that song in the sample.
It's almost like I love like when artists, especially in hip hop, when they sample stuff, because sometimes it is like it's almost like a ghostly kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like popping up in your life
it's like
again.
A disembodied head.
Yeah, it's like a memory just kind of floating back up.
Yeah, bizarre.
Have you ever tried to learn that song or play
no.
that song?
No, I love singing it just throughout my day. Sometimes I'll just it's one of the songs that just pops into my head to sing because I love the melody of it.
I have a song, although it's kind of, it's more just like an album, but the first song will take me there. And it kind of, I guess it applies to a whole genre even. I mean, but the song is Keep on Dubbin' by King Tubby. And it's off of King Tubby and Augustus Pablo meets Rockers Uptown. I remember the first time I heard any kind of dub music at all. I was on tour in this other band I was in called This Is Me Smiling. And our drummer, he knew a lot more, or he just knew a lot more music than I did. So he'd always introduce me to new stuff. And we were just on a long drive and he put on this record and the first song. And I immediately just felt like time completely slowed down. And I just was doing nothing. I was just staring straight ahead at the road, and the record just went by, and I didn't even notice. I still feel like that whenever I put on this record or some other dub music. I just absolutely love it. I love the pace of it and just the mood it puts me in. I feel like it's great morning music, like if I'm waking up, starting to do some chores or something, I just feel like I'm floating about my day and my cares kind of melt away. It's just makes me feel great.
Did you know anything about kind of the history behind dub, like why it had kind of come about?
I've learned a little bit about it since, but at that point, I mean, I knew a little bit of reggae, but not much. You know, like Bob Marley and the Police.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over.
Right. Like, I didn't know it. I think I was probably maybe 20 or 21 when I heard it. And I liked reggae. I've always liked the rhythms of it and stuff. And but this was just such a different take on it. I remember hearing a little bit or reading about the history of it since they kind of would take all the tracks from the bands and then. These got King Tubby or the other big, was it Lee Scratch Perry?
Uh-huh.
The other guys would kind of just chop them up in their little studios, like kind of whatever gear they had down there, and turn the studio into an instrument itself by using the delay or reverbs and just kind of applying them, like using the faders and stuff to, you know, make it their own. I still apply that all the time to my own production, and it's all over the, there's those kind of little flourishes in the Cross Record live show. I've got I have a mixer that I split her microphone into, and then I'm dubbing out her voice using the same exact technique. I just mix it in throughout the set, and I'll just kind of go crazy on it sometimes, and like, I've just been very inspired and influenced by what they can do with a sound that's already there and how you can give it a different life.
So you still listen to that King Tubby record a lot?
Yeah, I'll throw it on every once in a while, and if it's like a long drive or it's kind of become my it's in my rotation for my doing the dishes, cleaning the house music for sure.
Very important music. It's very underrated.
Probably the most important music for me, actually. Like, that's the time that, like, you know, you're doing something that's kind of boring and you need something to carry you through.
Yeah, it's either that or KUT news.
Yeah, like that's
NPR.
Yeah, either NPR or or dub music.
Have you ever wanted to make just like a straight up dub record or dub version of your record?
Well, I guess with my own stuff that I work on and with Cross Record, I think there's a pretty good amount of those types of things just mixed within the record where I haven't thought about just taking it even further out or anything, but I think, you know, if you would listen to any of that stuff now and kind of hearing the dub influence, I think you'd be able to pick it out enough where it would be pretty apparent.
You can hear High Rise by Cross Record, and I just want to thank Emily for talking about Hide and Seek, because that song has become my new listen to it over and over and get goosebumps every time you hear it songs. Thank you, Emily. Cross Record are also on tour, and in fact, they'll be playing some shows with Shearwater. That would make it an all Austin bill, just like this podcast is an all Austin podcast this time. Austin represent! I'll post a link to their Studio 1A performance, as well as their MyKUTX, and I'll post a link to the Shearwater Studio 1A performance, as well as their MyKUTX, which comes out this Saturday, February 27th, on the This Song page on the KUTX website. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Spotify playlist for this episode, which will also be on the page. You can hear all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And that's it. We have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9. The episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. The interviews were recorded by David Alvarez. I want to welcome Jackie Fuller to the This Song team. Welcome, Jackie. She did a great job interviewing Jonathan Myberg. And thank you so much to Art Levy for interviewing Cross Record. Antoinette Masando is our social media guru. Thanks to Peter Babb and Deidre Gott for all their help on this podcast. And our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own excellent hardproof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@KUTX or follow us on Twitter or Instagram or even Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongKUTX. You can follow us on Facebook and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Liner Notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes. Like I said, we'd love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.